Hey everybody, we are going to look at John chapter 7, continuing the scene at the Feast of Booths. Remember, his brothers encouraged him to, as it were, show off, prove himself, build a big following. And he doesn't do that, but he goes up secretly. And this is the conversation that begins after he has begun to teach. I'm going to start in 24. Do not judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment. Some of the people of Jerusalem therefore said, "Is not this the man whom they seek to kill? And here he is, speaking openly, and they say nothing to him. Can it be that the authorities really know that this is the Christ? But we know where this man comes from, and when the Christ appears, no one will know where he comes from." So Jesus proclaimed, as he taught in the temple, "You know me, and you know where I come from. But I have not come of my own accord. He who sent me is true, and him you do not know. I know him, for I come from him, and he sent me." So they were seeking to arrest him, but no one laid a hand on him, because his hour had not yet come. Yet many of the people believed in him. They said, "When the Christ appears, will he do more signs than this man has done?" The Pharisees heard the crowd muttering these things about him, and the chief priests and Pharisees sent officers to arrest him. Jesus said to them, "I will be with you a little longer, and then I am going to him who sent me. You will seek me, and you will not find me. Where I am, you cannot come." The Jews said to one another, "Where does this man intend to go that we will not find him? Does he intend to go to the dispersion among the Greeks and teach the Greeks? What does he mean by saying, 'You will seek me and you will not find me, and where I am, you cannot come'?" If I were going to title this section, I would title it what a lot of people have noticed is a major theme, whence and whither. It seems like the theme of this section is where Jesus is from and where he's going. Those are the major things that get discussed. And I would frame it in that first verse I read, "Don't judge by appearances." All along, people have been judging Jesus by appearances. Isn't this Joseph? We know his family. And he's challenging them to judge more deeply and understand who he is and where he's really from. And one of the things that they say is that, well, we know where this guy comes from, so he can't be the Messiah. Because there was a tradition that the Messiah would have mysterious origins. Well, there's an irony in this, because they think they know where he comes from. They think he comes from Nazareth. But of course, we know he was born in Bethlehem. They don't seem to know that. But more than that, Jesus emphasizes that he came from heaven, that he came from the Father. And so they actually prove themselves wrong because they don't know where he comes from. His origins are much more mysterious than they can really imagine. And this is one of the reasons they stumble. And then notice that it says that they were seeking to arrest him, but they couldn't because his hour had come. I'm sorry, his hour had not yet come. In the Gospel of John, Jesus is serenely calm. You never get the sense in any of the cases where people are trying to force him to be a king or trying to arrest him. There's never any sense that there's any distress about this. They simply can't. And we're not really given a lot of explanations as to why they couldn't. Why couldn't they send a big contingent? And it's because, the gospel writer says, his hour has not yet come. And I think what we should see in this is Jesus' supreme submission and command over his destiny. He came willingly. And the hour that he came for is not the hour of fame. He never proves to the masses who he is. The hour that he came for is the cross. The lifting up that he came for is the glory of him being crucified on the cross. And so we need to keep that in mind when he says, "My hour is not yet come." and then I would also say that a later hour is in Jesus' mind when the Father will reveal Jesus to all who have ever lived for who he really is. But at any rate, again, Jesus is totally submitted to the hour of the cross and calmly headed toward it, and nothing can deter him, not people trying to make him a king, not people trying to arrest him. The other thing I would notice in this section is that, remember in the last chapter, Jesus does a miracle. he feeds people, and as that whole conversation unfolds, more and more people fall away. In this conversation, where there's a good deal of controversy and conflict, it says that more people begin to believe in him. So I would just suggest we can't always predict when people will believe in Jesus. Sometimes we think favorable circumstances bring it about. And it turns out sometimes that it's in worse circumstances that bring people to the place that they go, man, I think there's something more to Jesus than most people are saying. So we've covered the whence, where does Jesus come from? Now, what about the whither? He says, listen, you're going to look for me and you're not going to be able to find me. And of course, once again, just like they speculated about his origins and they were thinking of Bethlehem, here they're speculating about what he means and they think, well, okay, I guess he could leave the land and go to Jews in the dispersion and preach to those Jews. Is that what he's talking about? And again, they have no idea what he's talking about because he's talking about going into death, going out of death by the resurrection, and then going to the Father. And really what Jesus is saying here is that, guys, you won't have this chance again. I have come from the Father, out of the Father's love. I have come to give you life. I have come to give you living water. I have come to give you bread from heaven. Now is the time to receive it, because there's going to come a time, and it'll be too late then, when you will seek to believe in me, when you will seek to receive me, and it will be too late. But if you receive me now, if you trust me now, if you come to me now, I can give all these things that I'm promising you, and they can never be taken away. So Jesus is really issuing in this section a stern warning. And it's a glorious thing all throughout the gospel to contemplate where he comes from. Of course, in the beginning of John, we have, in the beginning, the Word was with the Father, and then he became one of us. And he goes to the cross, and he goes to death, and he goes to the Father. So that theme of where Jesus comes from and where he's going is going to resonate throughout the book. But may we discern, may we judge Jesus with the right judgment. May we look below the surfaces and see below the surface the one who comes from the Father in love for us, and the one who goes to the Father on the behalf of those who believe in him. And may we believe in him and cling to him. Amen.